Okay, so today is Daf Tzadi Beis. So I'm just going to review a few lines from the Mishnah on Pei Tet, then a few lines from the Gemara on Tzadi Aleph, and then we'll do today's Daf. Okay, so going back to the Mishnah on Pei Tet, there are three opinions in the Mishnah, but I'm just focusing on Rib Shimon. The Tana Rib Shimon is Rib Shimon Bar Yochai on the fourth line. Rib Shimon Omer, Echad Gagod, Echad Chatzerot, Echad Karpifot, Rishud Echad Hein, Lekilim Shishav Zutokhan, so according to Tan Reb Shimon, a gag is a roof, and a chatzer is the courtyard, and a karpif is an enclosed area. It means they're all reshuta yachid, but you're allowed, without an eruv, to transfer from one to another for kelim that were rested there on Friday night. And there was not kelim that were taken out of the house, but for kelim that were out there. So according to the Tan Reb Shimon, the only reason you need a Rube Chatzay road is to permit you to take from the house to the Chatzer, but not to move the things within the Chatzer, to move from Chatzer to Chatzer. Okay, then on Tzadi Aleph Amar Aleph, you had in yesterday's daf, let's go, Tzadi Aleph Amar Aleph, midway down the column on Tzadi Aleph Amar Aleph near the two dots, or it's a little bit more than midway, Rib Shimon Omer Echad Gagim Nechulei, so Amar Rav Halachik Rib Shimon. So Rav says, Halacha follows the Tana Rib Shimon, v'hu shlo irvu, provided that all the Chatzer didn't make an Eruv Chatzerot, about irvu lo. But if they made an Eruv Chatzerot, meaning that now they have a green light to take from their homes into the Chatzer, maybe it sounds somewhat counterintuitive, lo, de gazrinan dilma'ati la puke mani, debatim lechatzer, because we're afraid once if everybody's made a ruve chatzerot, so I'm afraid that items that are going to be placed in sort of circulation are items that were in the house at the beginning of Shabbos, and those will get transferred to another chatzer, so that'll work out not according to the Tana Reb Shimon. So according to Rav, the lach is like Reb Shimon, and Rav means this is the pshat in Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon would say that you're only allowed to transfer from one chatz to the chatzer if nobody made an eruv chatzerot. And then Ushmul Amar, then Shmuel says, Bein irvu, Bein shlo irvu. Shmuel says, whether they made an eruv or didn't make an eruv, Rib Shimon has a green light, and the halacha follows Rib Shimon to take from chatzer to chatzer. Bechein Amar Rib Yochanan, and similarly Rib Yochanan says, and our sugi is milachashcha, who, you know, will whisper to you, like Rav said, Bein irvu, bein shlo irvu. Meaning, the halacha is, like Rav Shimon, whether it's bein irvu, shlo irvu. So again, so Rav and Shmuel both agree the halacha follows Rav Shimon, but the question is it only, or really what does Rav Shimon say? Does Rav Shimon only have his kula when they didn't make any Rubei Chatzerot, which is the way Rav takes it, or according to Shmuel, and Rav Yochanan, whether they made an eruv, but they didn't make an eruv, halacha follows Rav Shimon, all right? All right, now let's go to Tzadi Aleph Amud Beis on the bottom line. Okay, 91b, the bottom line. Everybody with me? Okay, so Amarli Ravina Ravashi. Now, this is working we're trying to understand Rabbi Yochanan's Shita. So again, Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel say the Lacha follows Rabbi Shimon, Bein Irvu, Bein Lo Irvu, whether they made an Eruv or didn't make an Eruv. So Amarli Ravina Ravashi, the top line in Sadi Bezim and Aleph. Mi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, did Rabbi Yochanan really say that the halacha is like Rav Shimon, bein irvu, bein lo irvu. V'ha'amar Rav Yochanan, halacha k'stam mishnah. Rav Yochanan also says an overarching principle, halacha always follows the stam mishnah. Stam mishnah is an anonymous mishnah. So he says, utran, and we learned in a mishnah earlier in our mesechta, kotel shebein shtei chatzerot, if there's a wall between two chatzerot, gavoa sara v'rocha v'arba, and the wall is 10 tfachim high and 4 tfachim wide, means the wall is a reshut, the wall itself is a reshut. He says, ma'arvin shnayim ve'im arvin echad. So those two chatzerot have to make separate eruvei chatzerot, and they can't join together in one eruv, because there's no opening between the two chatzerot. He says, hayu barosho peirot, if there was fruit on top of the wall, Elulin mikan ba'ochlim, elulin mikan ba'ochlim. So each chatzer, the members of each chatzer, can climb the wall and eat the fruit on top of the wall. That's like a third rishus. Uvanchla yorid lamata, provided that they don't take the fruit down below. So it means that the wall sort of belongs to both rishuyot, both chatzerot. The wall belongs to both chatzerot. if I were to take something down off the wall, that would be the legal equivalent of taking something from one chatzer to another chatzer. Now, again, we said that Rabbi Yochanan says halacha follows the Stam Mishnah. This is Stam Mishnah, so the halacha follows this. And Rabbi Yochanan also said halacha follows Reb Shimon. And Reb Shimon holds, I'm allowed to take from one chatzer to another chatzer. And here, I'm not allowed to do it. I'm not allowed to take it. So if I would say that Reb Shimon's halacha is limited to when nobody made an Eruve Chatzerot, so then I have an easy way to explain Pshat in this Mishnah. I'll say this Mishnah is talking about where they made an Eruve Chatzerot, so you're not allowed to take from one Chatzer to another. That would be that case. Otherwise, yes. But Rabbi Yochanan said also that Rabbi Shimon holds whether they made an Eruve Chatzerot or not. So that's the Kasha. Okay, that's the Kasha. Let me just do a few lines, and we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. So the Gemara says, my Lamata, what does the Mishnah mean when it says you're not allowed to take it lamata, down below, lamata lebatim? It means I can't take it into a house. In other words, I could take it into the chatzer, but I can't bring it into the house. So the Iser is bringing from the house to the chatzer, from the chatzer to the house. That's where the Gemara wants to defend Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, but vahatani Rabbi Chiya, but Rabbi Chiya taught a brisa, and this brisa is elaborating on the Mishnah. That provided that nobody takes the fruit off the wall and eats on the ground in the chatzer. The b'mekomo means in his chatzer. So that's also not working well according to what Rabbi Yochanan said. So Amar Lei, so again, this was a conversation between Ravina and Ravashi. Ravina and Ravashi are living at the end of the period of the Maraim, right? They're the Masadrei HaGemara. And they're talking about Rabbi Yochanan as the first generation of Amoraim. So he says, so Ravashi says to Ravina, Amar Lei, B'chi Rebbe lo shna'a, Rebbe Chiya minayin lo. If Rebbe didn't teach this brisa, where does Rebbe Chiya, you know, where does Rebbe Chiya get it from? Meaning, the brisa isn't necessarily authoritative, and we could say our pshat the way we did. In other words, that's the way it's going. So let me just summarize, and we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So again, so we're discussing the opinion of the Tana, Reb Shimon, and our Mishnah. Reb Shimon, our Mishnah says that on Shabbos, even without an Eruvei Chatzerot, you're allowed to carry from a Chatzer to a Chatzer, from a Gog to a Chatzer, and then to a Karpi, if I can carry with all those Rishuyot. But we had a Machloket Amarayim, where Reb Shimon only holds his Shita. Now, Reb Shimon clearly holds, I can't take things that were B'toch HaBayit. I can't take things that were in the Bayit at the beginning of Shabbos. Those I'm not allowed to. Did Reb Shimon give his heter only, which is the way Rav learns, when everybody didn't make an Eruve Chatzerot, then I have a green light to carry between Chatzerot, Gagin, Karpifot, everything, because I'm not afraid anybody's going to take anything from the house because they're not allowed to take from the house. Or, according to Shmuel and Reb Yochanan, did Reb Shimon, even though he still holds, you're not allowed to take from the house, but he said, whether you made an Eruve Chatzerot or you didn't make an Eruve Chatzerot, you could put things in you could move things from Chatzer to Chatzer. So that was the first part. So we're focusing on Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. So Rabbi Yochanan says that way. Rabbi Yochanan says Rabbi Shimon is the most lenient opinion. Lach is like Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon holds, whether you made an Eruve Chatzerot or didn't make an Eruve Chatzerot, you can carry between all the different Chatzerot. That's the way Rabbi Shimon holds. So the Gemara said, did Rabbi Yochanan really say that? But Rabbi Yochanan also says the Lacha follows a Stam Mishnah. The Lacha follows an anonymous Mishnah. And we have an anonymous Mishnah that says that I'm not allowed to take the fruit that's on a wall between two Chatzerot to one of the Chatzerot and eat it. And so if that's the case, that would be fruit that's like in essence from one Chatzer to another Chatzer, and I'm allowed to eat it. So if I say the Lacha is like Rav, that Reb Shimon's heter is only when nobody made an Eruve Chatzerot, I could say the Mishnah is talking about whether he had an Eruve Chatzerot, and that's why you're not allowed to take it down. But if I'm going to say like Rabbi Yochanan that it was a like a green light under all circumstances, how do I understand the Mishnah? So the Gemara says we can say the Mishnah is talking about I can't take it into my house and eat it, but I could take it into my chatzer. But then the Brisa says I can't even take it to my chatzer and eat it. So the Gemara learns that Brisa is not authoritative. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far?
Why are we assuming that they made an Eruv here?
No. We don't know whether they made an Eruv Chatzer. We don't know if they did or they did not. So if the halacha would be like Rav, if Rav's opinion would be correct, so then the heter to move from one chatzer to another chatzer is only when they didn't make an eruv chatzerot. So if I have a situation where I'm not allowed to take it, I would say that that's where they made an eruv. That's an easy way out of it. Whereas I'm running into stirot with Rabbi Yochanan Shita. Rabbi Yochanan says halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan says the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yochanan says the halacha is a stam mishnah. So this right. Stam mishnah doesn't seem like it's Shtim Zois with Rabbi Yochanan. So if the halacha would be like Rav, and then he would say halacha is a stam mishnah, so I'd be fine because I'd say the mishnah is probably talking about where they made an eruv chatzero, and that's why they couldn't take it. But right. Now that Rabbi Yochanan says it's whether it's they made an eruv or didn't make an eruv chatzero of a green light, so now I have no way to explain the mishnah. All right, everybody else good? Everybody happy?
I heard from Rav Sruli Bornstein that Ravina, Ravashi, the Sofa, Ra always have the last word in the Gemara.
Who, and this is Rav Sruli Bornstein?
Bornstein, yeah.
Oh, okay.
The Lakewood guy.
All right, what happened to your usual favorite?
I have a lot of favorites. You're one of them. But... Okay.
I didn't mean myself. I mean, like, usually
Sruli Bornstein gives a shear. He's from Lakewood, a businessman,
is he the one who told me he was on OU, the OU or not?
He's on Aldaf, which is an OU product.
Okay. But is it on, he on the OU website or not?
It's on Aldaf, which is an OU, an OU Daf source.
But no, but I'm saying if I go to the OU website, will I see his thing?
You have to go to Al Daf.
Not to the OU, to Al Daf.
I don't think I'll check if it's on OU.
All right.
That was an interesting Ha'ara.
All right, okay.
He gives a fabulous mechanics how the Gemara works as opposed to...
All right.
And he has over 100 people on Zoom listening to him when he gives a live shiur.
Okay, very nice. Okay. All right, let's go further. All right, now we're going to shift over to Rav's opinion, right? So Rav said that the halacha follows Reb Shimon, but only if, but Reb Shimon only has his heter when people didn't make an eruv chatzero. They make an eruv chatzero, all bets are off. Now, the only thing with Rav, so we know if again within the sheet of Rav, if everybody made an eruv chatzero. So then I know I can't carry from chatzer to chatzer. If nobody made an eruv chatzer, I know I can. But Rav didn't specifically address what if one person made an eruv and one person didn't make an eruv chatzer. Then where do I hold with this? All right. So we're going to address this shortly, and we'll see how we could do with this. Okay. So itmar shtei chatzer v'chura v'chat b'nehem. So the Gemara has. Let me get to my picture book here. Let me see. Let me just take a look. Okay. Good. Let me go back. Okay, here's picture book. Let me see what I got here. City Bays of Manala. Where is it? Here. Okay. So here you see, this is in picture 42. Everybody see it? This is in the Perush Chai. So here you have one chatzer. And the bottom in the chatzer. Here you have another chatzer. And here's a churva. Everybody see the churva? It's like a destroyed house between them. And then here's a wall between the chatzerot. Okay? So the chatzer that's closest to us, he wrote lo irvu. They didn't make an eruv. The chatzer that's further away, they did make an eruv. All right? So let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, itmar, shtei chatzerot v'churva chat b'nehem. If you have two chatzerot, one churva between them, achat irva v'achat lo irva. One made an eruv, one didn't make an eruv. Am Rav Huna, notnima talazu shlo irva. We assign the churva to the one that didn't make an eruv, meaning the people from in this picture that are in the foreground could carry the churva, and from the churva to their chatzer, aval l'she'irva lo. But we don't assign it to the people who made the eruv. They cannot carry to the churva and back and forth. Why? Dilma ati lapuki mari debatim lechurva, because we're concerned that they made an eruv and now they may take kalim that were in the house on Friday night and bring it out to the chatzer and then bring it to the churva. Okay, that seems pretty straightforward. Then the Gemara says, "V'chiyah bar Rav amar." Now, Rav Huna was a talmid of Rav, And it seems like they're both trying to be mechavein to the sheet of Rav, and both certainly working within the sheet of Rav. V'chiyah Rav amar, af l'shi'irva. So the way Rashi explains that Chiyah Rav had heard from his father that in this case, af l'shi'irva, that they both have the same din. There was the lo irva and the irva have the same din. So he, Chiyah Rav, says, ushtein asurot. He, on his own recognizance, says that they're both prohibited. Neither one can carry into the churva. Neither one can carry into the churva. So now he wants to defend himself. Im tomar shtein mutarot. Maybe you would want to argue that when my father said af l'shi'irva, he didn't mean they're both prohibited. He meant that they're both permissible. He says mipnei ma einonim chatzer shlot nirva l'chatzer she'irva. Why don't we why don't we permit a chatzer shlo irva l'chatzer she'irva? All right, the basic idea you want to say is like this. Again, so Rav says that when everybody makes an Eruv Chatzerot, I'm not allowed to carry between Chatzer and a Chatzer. Let's say, skip this situation. Let's say I have two Chatzerot. One Chatzer made an Eruv, and one Chatzer did not make an Eruv. Okay, so I have two. Let's say, imagine this picture, but without the Churva here. One made an Eruv, one didn't make an Eruv. And imagine that there's an opening between the two. So the one that we know, certainly the one that made the Eruv cannot carry to the one that did not make the Eruv, right? That goes without saying, because Rav holds there's a concern that you'll take from the Bayit into the Chatzer in here. What about the one that didn't make an Eruv? Where do they hold? So it's possible they might, there we don't know how Rav would hold. He might hold that they also cannot bring anything in because it's going to lead to confusion of I'm bringing in, you could bring here and bring back and forth. Or he might hold that they can't do it. He might hold they can't do it. But certainly he holds that the one who made the Eruv cannot. Certainly he holds the one who made the Eruv cannot. So here he says, so back in the Gemara, maybe they should both be permitted to carry. He says, In other words, when I have two chatzerot, I know they're both not permitted to carry one to another. One I could sort of argue should be, one certainly not. But if Rav is saying that there's an equivalency between both of them here, so it can't be that the equivalency yields a result that they could both carry there. Because with two chatzerot, Rav at most would hold that maybe one, the one that didn't make the Eruv, might be able to carry. The one that did make the Eruv certainly cannot carry to the other one. So if Rav said af she'irva, meaning that they're both the same, he certainly didn't mean they're both permissible, so it must mean they're both prohibited. That's what Chiyah Rav thinks. And he goes, so the Gemara says, the Gemara rejects this. And the Gemara says, Hatam came into Mintri Mani Debatim Bechatzer. The Gemara says that over when I have two Chatzerot, so Kalim of the Batim that are after the Chatzer, they have a certain level of Shmira on it. So Atila Puke. So I'll come to take those Kalim out and then bring it to another Chatzer. He says, Hacha Bechurva came in Lomintri Mani de Chatzer Bechurva Lo Atila Puke. In other words, since it's not guarded, in other words, it's not a place where I would want to leave my kalim. So Mamela, I'm not afraid that the kalim and the batim I would bring to the churva. All right, let me just go slowly again. So we're dealing here with one place did not make an eruv, one did make an eruv, and Rav says there's an equivalency between both of them, and we don't know exactly what the equivalency is. The equivalency is either they both have a green light or they both have a red light to carry in here. So Chia Barav thought it can't be they have both have a green light, because when I just have two chatzerot, I know that my father did not permit who made the Eruv to carry to the to carry here, because he's afraid that Kalim from the house will end up going to the chatzer that's not Murevit. So that being the case, it must be that he was saying they're both prohibited. But the Gemara says, no, it could be that he said they are both permitted, because in this case, we're talking about a concern that I might take Kalim from the house and bring it into the churva. So the Gemara is saying, people don't take Kalim from the house and leave in the churva. Kalim from the house, they leave in the chatzer. The chatzer has a level of shmira. In the churva, it doesn't have a level of shmira. So it's not likely that I would do that. So it could be that Rav said that you have a heter to carry the kalim from either chatzer into the churva. Let me do a few more lines, then we'll summarize and we'll go on. Okay. So Ika de Amri, again, we're around six lines above the Mishnah for the people who just joined us. So Ika de Amri, some say Chia Barav Amar Afla She'irva. The Chia Barav himself said that both chatzerot could carry kalim into that rested in the chatzer into the churva. He says Ushtein Mutarot Vim Tomar Shtein Asurot. And maybe you say that they should both be prohibited. Lefisha ain't note name chatzer shlo irva lechatzer she'irva, because we know that again with a chatzer she'irva, I don't permit it to carry kalim to the chatzer shlo irva. He says hatam kaven dimintri mani debatim bechatzer lo sharu b'hu rabbanan. So since I know the kalim are protected in the chatzer, so I might bring kalim out from my bayit, leave it in the chatzer, and then transfer it to the other chatzer. He says, lo sharubu rabbanan da'at kilapuke aval b'churva lo mintri. In the churva, it's not guarded, so I'm not concerned about that. Okay, let me just summarize. Okay, I just like to see everybody for a minute, and then we'll go on. Okay, so again, we're working within the, welcome Seth and welcome Malka. I see your scalp, Malka. Okay. Anyway, so thank you. Now I see a hand. Okay. So. And then I see two ceilings for Yosef and Aaron Moshe. Okay, now I see a little bit more. Okay, so so again, we're working within the sheet of Rav. Rav says I'm allowed to carry from a chatzer to a chatzer on Shabbat, even without Neruve chatzerot or anything between them. In the words, between the chatzerot. And then Rav says that Reb Shimon, the halach is like Reb Shimon, but Reb Shimon only said his din when nobody made Neruve chatzerot. If everybody in a Ruby Chatzerot, you're not allowed to carry from Chatzer to Chatzer, because I'm concerned that somebody will take Kalim from the Bayit, Kalim that were in the house at the beginning of Shabbos, bring it to their Chatzer, and then bring it to the next Chatzer, and that's not allowed according to Rav. Okay, that's the first Yisod. So Rav didn't tell us though. What if let's say one Chatzer made an Eruv Chatzerot, one did not make an Eruv Chatzerot? So we don't know how Rav would hold in that case. So the two possibilities are that Rav would hold that the chatzer that didn't make the Eruv could carry to the chatzer that did make an Eruv. That's one possibility. The one that made the Eruv certainly cannot carry the one that did not make the Eruv. But on the other hand, he might hold that nobody could carry in that situation because I'm afraid of confusion. If I can carry my kalim, so you think why the other chatzer will think that they can carry their kalim. So we don't know for sure what Rav held in that situation, but certainly he did not say that the chatzer that made the Eruv could carry kalim to the chatzer that did not make the Eruv. That's certainly not. So then we have this situation. Let's go back to our split screen with these two chatzerot. One did not make an Eruv, one did make an Eruv, and here they have a churva, a destroyed house between them. So the question is, so what would Rav hold in this situation? So Rav Huna said, so where's Rav Huna? So Rav Huna says that the only ones who can carry in the churva is the one that didn't make an Eruv. The one that did make an Eruv cannot carry anything to this area. That's what Rav Huna said. And Rav Huna is working with Rav. And that seems pretty straightforward. That seems to understand.
The one that did not make Eruv can carry.
In other words, if here's another Rosh HaSiyachid, here's Rosh HaSiyachid, here's Rosh HaSiyachid. So here, they did not make an Eruv. So I'm not concerned that they're going to take anything from the house into the Chatzer. So they can take Kalim in the Chatzer right to the Churva.
Right.
Here they did make an Eruv. Here I'm concerned they're going to take Caleb from the house of the Chatzin and bring it to the Hur, but they can't carry there. Okay? That's Rav Huna. Is that okay? All right.
Yes, correct.
Okay, now, then Chir Barav says, my father says, Af She'irva. My father said, the same halacha applies even to the one that made the Eruv. So we had two Lashonos on this. So what did Rav mean when he said that Chir Barav says that his father said Af She'irva, they have the same din? So Chir Barav cannot entertain the possibility that the one that made the Eruv could carry to the Churva, because that sounds like the kiss of death. So he figured it must mean neither one could carry there. That's what he figured it meant, that neither one could carry there. And the Gemara said, no, not necessarily. In this case, Rav might have permitted everybody to carry to the Churva, because the Churva is a very unprotected area. And therefore, a person is not likely to carry Kalin from the house to the Chatzir and leave it in the Churva. Very unlikely to do that. So therefore, it might be that you're allowed to carry from either one into the Churva. That we could distinguish between the regular case in the Chatzir. In other words, in the Chatzir, you have some level of Shmira. In the Churva, you don't have a level of Shmira. And then the Gemara had in the second Lashon, the Chir Barav didn't say they're both prohibited. Chir Barav Badavka said they're both permissible for that reason. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did so far? Nobody? All right. So I'm gonna move on then. All right. So now we're up to the next Mishnah. Everybody with me? Last narrow line on Sadi Beis Amud Aleph. Okay. Manithin Gad Gadol Samuch Lekatan. Now, here, and we've had these situations before, everybody see the two roofs? I have building A, building B, and there's a wall between them, and maybe family, you know, Schwartz family lives here, and the Mandelbaum family lives here, okay? So underneath the small roof is the Schwartz family, underneath the big roof is the Mandelbaum family. Here's a small Gog, here's a big Gog. Now, from the perspective of the small Gog, the whole place is opened up. We'll see in a minute. So he says, Gad Gadol Samuch Lekatan, Hagadol Mutar Bakatan Asur. So this Ukim to Rashi points out is going to be, according to everybody, the question is, am I allowed to take Kalim from my Bayit? In other words, even according to the most lenient opinion, which was Reb Shimon, I'm not allowed to take Kalim from the Bayit and bring it to a different Gog or a different, you know, from one Rishus to another. But the question is, let's say the Schwartz family lives down here. Can they bring their Kalim to the roof? You know, that they would use the roof of the house. It was flat. So the Mishnah says, Gad Gadol Samuch Lekatan, Hagadol Mutar. So the people who live below the big roof, they can bring Kalim up to the roof, because from the big roof, it looks like it's closed off, because in here it's less than 10 amot across, and here I have pieces of a wall. So here, this roof is a reshut by itself. He says, v'hakatan asur. But the people who live underneath the small roof, they can't bring the kalim up to the roof, because from their perspective, the roof is open, l'makom ha'asur la. Okay? Let me just do two more lines, and we'll take some questions. And it's the same idea. Now we go with the chatzer. So here was roof, here's chatzer. Chatzer gedola shnefretzala l'ktana. I have a big chatzer that opens up into a smaller chatzer. So again, here you have people in this chatzer and people in this chatzer. And the way he has it here, so if it's a chatzer, so presumably let's say they both made a ruve chatzer road, but can the people in each chatzer even bring kalim out to their chatzer? He says, Gedola Muteret. So the people in the Gedola, they can bring their Kalim out to their Chatzer, because their Chatzer is a self-contained unit. It's the same idea as before. It looks like it's sealed off on all ends. He says, Uktana Sura Mnei Shehi Kipitcha Shel Gedola. The Ktana is viewed as like the entranceway to the Gedola. So the Ktana, they can't bring it out to. All right, let me just summarize again, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. So the way Rashi explains it, the Mishnah here is concerned with taking Kalim from the Bayit into the Gog or the Chatzer. That's what we're talking about, taking a kalim from the Bayit to the Gog or the Chatzer. So here, with the larger roof or the larger Chatzer, the people can take the kalim onto the larger roof or onto the larger Chatzer. The people who live below can bring it there, and the people in the larger Chatzer can, because the larger Chatzer, larger roof, is enclosed. It's closed off. But the people on the smaller roof, their rishus is totally parutz to makama asrula. They can't bring their kalim to the other gog. They can't bring their kalim to the other chatzer. So it's nifritz on the makama asrula. So they can't do it. All right, who's your questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did on this mishnah? Very good.
The all big chatzer right. Came carried to the small chatzer, correct?
The big chatzer cannot carry to the big chatzer. Well, the can. Big chat, the big can or cannot?
Can
or cannot? Can?
Can, yes, can.
So we said, again, we're talking about, remember, even Reb Shimon, who's the most lenient opinion, he only talks about carrying from chatzer to chatzer for kids.
I'm talking about stuff that were already on the roof or on the chatzer.
You mean that at the beginning of Shabbos?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so then if you say that way, then that you would be able to do. That you'd be
okay,
able
but
to.
The small side would not be able to do.
Right. With this, again, you're mixing a little
kasha. I'm talking about stuff that was already there from Shabbat.
Yeah, so things that were already there at the beginning of Shabbos, so l'chora, each one would be able to carry from one to the other, because according to the Tana Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon holds you can carry from a chatzer to a chatzer, and from a gog to a gog, according to Reb Shimon. But we're focusing on not that. We're
got
focusing
it. Yeah,
on
I understand
kalim.
From the house. From
okay,
the house.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. So let me go back. Okay. Now. All right. So let's take a look. We're on the second wide line on Sadi Bezim and Aleph. Okay. So the Gemara says Lama Lulamitni Tarti. Why is the Tana Mishnah have to teach me basically two cases which seem conceptually the same, big roof, small roof, big chatzer, small chatzer. So big chatzer, big roof get to carry from the bayit, or and small roof, small chatzer not. So the Rav, now, if you remember earlier we learned, Rav said, so remember we had before about when the buildings were near one another, so Rav didn't say good Asik Mechitzta. Remember, we had earlier in the beginning of the parak that Rav didn't say that I view the Mechitzta as coming up unless it's the end of the building. In other words, if I could look over, and we did this on Shabbos, remember, if I look over the building, I see the cliff that Rav holds, then I say good Asik Mechitzta, but between the buildings, not. So, Lamalim in Tarti. So, the Rav, Ketani Gag, Dumi the Chatzir. According within Rav Shita, the Tani here is trying to set up an analogy between the Gog and the Chatzer. Ma Chatzer Minkara Mechitzta, meaning this halacha that we're saying that the people in the Gog can carry their kalim up to the big roof. The big roof has to be like the Chatzer, meaning Ma Chatzer Minkara Mechitzta, just like in the Chatzer, the Mechitzta or Nikar. So too, well, it's not exactly like this thing here. Here it means like this. In other words, it's not necessarily here. He set it up with a partition around it. It's not necessarily with this partition. We take this partition away. In other words, I have the walls of this house around. I have the walls of the house, and it's a fall off. But I look over and I see like the sidewalk beneath me. So it's minkara mechitzta. So he says. Ma chatzer min kara mechitzta, af gag nami min kara mechitzta. In other words,
It's the next picture.
Yeah, well, here it's not min kara mechitzta. In other words, here the roof goes over the walls, so it's not nikar. But even here, where it is nikar, so I'm saying it doesn't have to have like this. This certainly would be good, but I'm saying it doesn't even have to have that. In other words, I know that the walls are there. That would be nikar mechitzta. So that's when, according to Rav, then in other words, in this circumstance, I can carry on the big roof from the house. Here, where there's the roof area extends beyond the walls of the house, I can't carry over here because it's not nikar mechitzta. And then third wide line, Ula Shmuel, Gag Dumi the Chatzer. Now, Shmuel holds that we say good asik mechitza regardless of whether it's nikar or not. So why does, according to Shmuel, why do we need two cases in the Mishnah? He says, I needed again also to establish a parallel between the Gog and the Chatzer. Ma Chatzer de Kadarsi la Rabim, Av Gog Nami de Kadarsi le Rabim. He says that that this is talking about why I can't carry in the small Chatzer, because in other words, so over here there's a lot of people walking back and forth. So he's saying over here there's a wall between these two apartments underneath here. So this wall, I should say, good asik mechitza, because Shmuel doesn't say it has to be nikar. So I should say good asik mechitza. So Shmuel says he wants to establish a parallel, just like in the chatzer of a lot of people walking around. This Gog is talking about a lot of people. People typically didn't walk around so much on the roof, but a lot of people did walk on the roof. So therefore, this we don't view it that there's a wall between the big Gog and the small Gog, because a lot of people are walking there. That's a mechitza that Darsi Barabim destroys that part of the mechitza. All right? Any questions?
Can you explain what difference it makes if a lot of people are walking or not over here on the roof?
Yeah. It means like this, that again, we're dealing with sort of like a imaginary
wall.
Type of mechitzot.
Right.
So if I have a mechitza, which is imaginary to begin with, and then I'm saying a lot of people are walking all over it, so that destroys the mechitza.
Correct.
All right. That's it. All right. Now. All right. Now. Okay. So now we're three lines from the bottom on Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph. Everybody with me? Okay. Yativ Rabba Rabbi Zeira Rabba Bar Rav Chanan. We've had this many times before. I don't know why, but frequently three chachamim sitting together. He says, "V'yativ Abayi Gabayhu," and Rabbi was sitting nearby with them. So the three are the gedolim: Rabba, Rabbi Zeira, and Rabba Rav Chanan. But Rabba and Rabbi Zeira certainly are a gedolim. I don't know about Rabba Bar Rav Chanan. I mean, he's I'm sure he's a gadol, but I don't know if he's on the stature of Rabba and Rabbi Zeira. And Abayi was near them. They sat and they said, the three said, Shmaminam Manitin, from our Mishnah we can extrapolate Diuri Gedola Biktana, being Diuri Ktana Bigdola, that the ones, in other words, the one that dominates this premises, these two God given these two Chatzerot, is always the larger premises dominates. In other words, we view the smaller one as an appendage to the larger one. In other words, so the smaller one will be Nigrar after the bigger one. In other words, the smaller one will be Nigrar after the larger premises. Because that's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says that we view the Chatzer Ketana as the Petach to the Gedola. So he says, Ketzad, now we're going to have five halakhic examples where we're going to say that the one that predominates is the bigger one and not the smaller one. Ketzad, Gifanim Bigdola, and here I think we have a picture. Yeah. Okay. So let's say I have vines. These are strange looking vines he's got here. But let's say I have grapevines in the Gedola in larger Chatzer. He says, Asulus Roeda Katana. I can't put greens in the Katana. It means that the Ketana I view is the petach to the Gedola, is the entranceway to the Gedola. So normally, I can't, so in other words, it's as if the whole thing is occupied with Gefanim. In other words, the Gefanim and the Gedola, that's giving a character to the whole Rishus. In other words, now it's a Geffen area, and now I can't even put greens anywhere in the smaller one because the smaller one is just viewed as the entranceway to the Gedola. So normally, if I would be Dalet Amot away from the Geffen, I'd be okay. Here, the whole smaller one is just viewed as a Petach. Now, I think the Ritva says it's talking about that the Geffen would be within Dalet Amot of like the entranceway, literally, but the whole smaller one is viewed as the entranceway. So I can't plant, in other words, that's Kilea Geffen. So Gifanim Gedola Suz Roda Ktana. V'im Zara, if in violation of Halacha, he did plant greens there, Zerayin Asurin. So all the greens there are prohibited in Hana'a. Now turn page, top line in Amud Beis, Gifanim Mutarim. And the Gifanim would be Mutar. The Gifanim would be Mutar because the Gifanim we view it as if there's like a partition between both of them. In other words, from the Geffen perspective. Give me one second. Okay, let me just two more lines and we'll summarize. He says, Gefanim b'ketana, if on the other hand, the vines are in the ketana, he says, mutar lizroa et ha-gedola, then I'm allowed to plant zraim in the gedola. In other words, the gefanim and the ketana don't define the gedola. In other words, the gedola is going to define the premises. The small one's not going to define it. So if I have gefanim first in the ketana, so I can plant greens in the gedola, because it's like this is the tail and this is the dog. So the tail doesn't wag the dog. So I can plant all sorts of greens here. Now, the only thing is, the metzias is, at the end of the day, though, so here the Mishnah says, mutar lizroa et ha-gedola, I could plant in the gedola. I have a green light to plant in the gedola. Now, one second. That neither planting will become prohibited. Neither planting is going to be prohibited in that second case. So it's hard to understand. Now, with the gedola, we understand why, because the gedola is viewed as a separate rishus, so that's okay. But at the end of the day, the gefanim are still close to the greens here, so what's doing with that? So he explains that, and this is in footnote 2 in the art scroll, So he says that first we view it as if there's a partition between the two. So I'm allowed to plant the greens here. But he says, but still, at the end of the day, isn't the vine near the green? So why am I not running into problems? So he says, on a deraisa level, there's only kilia kerem if I have luf and canvas, two types of greens. That's deraisa. All other type of vegetables are prohibited on a derabanan level. So he wants to say, in these circumstances where I'm doing the derabanan, it's permissible. He goes on to say here, he says at the end, in the present case, no violation by planting the greens. He says, even the plants of the owner of vines, since the act of planting them takes place in an area separated by the vines by a wall. Therefore, even though the vines simply grow proximity to the greens, they do not become prohibited for benefit, since no violation whatsoever has been committed. Anyway, that's the way Rashi learns Pshat. Okay, let me just summarize again, then we'll take some questions on this, okay? So the Mishnah said that the predominant rishus is the larger rishus, and the smaller rishus is like a tail. It's like, remember, it says it's like pitcha shel gedola. It's like the entranceway to the gedola. So the Gemara said, if I plant the gedola with vines, so that means that's giving it the definition of this rishus. First, I plant it with vines, so it's planted with vines. So I'm not allowed to plant greens in the smaller rishus. And the whole smaller rishus is viewed as the petach, the entranceway to the large ones. I'm not allowed to do it. If I did do it, so then we said that the vines are permissible, but the zraim are prohibited, because the zraim were planted in violation of halacha. In the second case, first I plant the vines in the smaller one. So the fact that I plant the vines in the smaller one doesn't define the character of the territory. This is in the chatzer. So here I have a green light to plant this larger one with greens. Now the greens are permissible because we view it as separated by a type of mechitza, and the gefanim are also permissible in this case. So why are they both permissible in this case? Since at the end of the day they're flush against each other. So since the greens were planted beheter al pi halacha, so now on a deraisa level it's only luf and canvas would be on a deraisa level would be kilia karam. So this is derabanan, but since this derabanan was planted with license, everything was done technically. Nobody violated halacha in planting it, therefore nothing is prohibited. Here, once the gefanim were planted, this was planted in violation of halacha. All right, who's got questions, comments to us, anything I did so far?
In the second case, how far away did the greens have to be from the grape vines?
You mean the one where we said everything is permissible?
Yeah.
there, it doesn't sound like it has to be at any distance away. That's
right,
what it sounds
right to that fake imaginary wall.
Yeah, because the imaginary wall. That's what it sounds like. Okay, let me go for the next case in the Mishnah. We're running out of time. Okay, now the second line in the Gemara. Isha b'gedola. Let's say a woman is in a larger chatzer. He says v'get b'ketana. Now means the woman owns the territory, and she. Well, I don't have, here's the chatzer, but it means a woman owns the whole property and the man throws the get into the chatzer ketana. So isha b'gedola v'get b'ketana mitgareshet. It means she establishes, in other words, her presence in the gedola extends out. In other words, the ketana is nigrar after her. So she's in the gedola. So the ketana is the entranceway to the gedola. So he throws the get in the ketana. She's divorced. Isha b'ketana, if the woman is standing in the ketana, he says v'get b'gdola, and then the man throws the get into the larger one, einam et gareshet, because, in other words, like her presence is not felt in the gedola. If she's standing in the ketana is just the entranceway to the gedola. So her presence, and in other words, we view everything from the perspective of the woman. Where does he have it here? Yeah. And so in the first case, we view the get as being in the wife's presence. But he said, when she stands in small chatzer, her domain and presence do not extend to large one. Therefore, the get, you know, present in the other one, she's not divorced. Let me do a couple of cases, then we'll summarize. Okay, tzibur b'gedola. Let's say I have a tzibur. Let's say I have 25 people in the larger chatzer. He says, Ushlich Sibur Bektana, and the Shlich Sibur is in the smaller Chatzer. So again, the larger Chatzer is what's going to define the premises. So if the Sibur is in the Gedola, that's what the whole place is about, the Sibur. And the Shlich Sibur is Bektana, Yotzin Yidei Chovatan. It means the Shlich Sibur is going to be davening, and his tefillah is the Hotzi Mishenu Baki, to be most anybody who doesn't know how to daven. And then the Rav had his Torah, I spoke about this between Mechamarev yesterday, that there's a tefillah Hatzibur, that there's a tefillah from the whole Tzibur that everybody has to have. Also, he's Motzi everybody. So he says, Yosin Dechobtan, Tzibur B'Ketana, but if 25 people are in the Ketana, Ushlich Tzibur B'Gedola, Ein Yosin Dechobtan. In other words, the Tzibur is just in the Petach. He's in the main part. That doesn't extend out. In other words, everything is where the Tzibur is. So when the Tzibur is in the Gedola, their presence is felt throughout. When the Sibur is in the Ketana, so that's just in the Petach, and he's in the Gedola, it's not Mitzaref. Another similar idea, Tisha B'Gedola, if there are 9 people in the Gedola, V'yachid B'Ketana, one person in the Ketana, Mitztarefin. They're Mitztaref because the 9 people, they give their impact on the whole thing. So the whole thing is like the 9 are here, and the Snif is like attached to it. He says, Tisha B'Ketana, but if 9 people are in the Ketana, the Echad B'Gedola, Eim Mitztarefin. It means the Echad can't be Mitztaref then with the 9. He says, Soa B'Gedola, if there's, you know, excrement in the larger Chatzer, Asur D'Kro Kriya Shema B'Ketana. I can't recite Shema in the Ketana because the Ketana is like, is the Petach of the Gedola. Gedola is like a place where I'm not allowed to recite Shema. He says, Soa b'ketana, if there's Soa in the Ketana, Mutar l'kro kriyat Shema b'gedola. I could recite Shema in the Gedola, because then it's just a Petach, and the Gedola has different rishos. All right, so those are 5 halachot. In each case, like the key is that the Ketana is nimshach after the Gedola. The Gedola is not nimshach after the Ketana. So in each case, the Gedola gives the character. So if the woman is in the Gedola and the get's in the Ketana, so then she's megureshet. If the woman's in the Ketana and the get's in the Gedola, she's not Megureshet because that's just she's just in the Petach. And he throws this thing in the Gedola. If the Tzibur is in the Gedola and the Tzibur is in the Ketana, so then there could be Yotze with him. In other words, that's where the Tzibur is. But the Tzibur is in the Ketana, the Tzibur is in the Gedola, it doesn't work. All right, let me go on. All right, any questions, comments, thoughts on this?
Yeah, can't you still get in the woman's shoot?
Well, that's what we're talking about.
Whether she's home or not home?
Well, first there's a question in the Gemara whether she has to be there's a machlok in the Gemara whether she's got to be home or not. So this Gemara is going with the assumption that she has to be home. She has to be present. That's what this Gemara is assuming. All right. Now let's take a look. So we're up to Amar Lehu Abaye. So the three Chachamim were saying this halacha, and now Abaye said to the whole three of them, Amar Lehu Abaye, now focusing again on the gefen, the vines and the greens, Amar Lehu Abaye, imkein matzinu mechitza le'isur. So in the case where the Gefanim are here, and the greens are here, so I plant the geffen, then I plant the greens, so the greens are becoming prohibited. So Amar Lehu Abayim came at sinu mechitza l'isur. So it comes out then that having these mechitzot, which are these little tabs over here, creates an isur for the greens. In other words, since I have these mechitzot, this gedola has a certain status, and now this is the petach of the gedola. So now that's creating the prohibition. Shemalei ein mechitza, because if there was no mechitza here, we're going to have a case where there is no mechitza in a minute. He says, marchik dalet amot v'zorea. So that a person could just distance himself by dalet amot and plant. So these mechitzot are in effect creating, a problem, which is unusual. Bilu hashta asura. Amalei Rabbi Zeira Labaye. So he's questioning, where do we ever see that the existence of mechitzot creates greater restrictions than not? So Amar Lehu Rabbi Zeira Labaye, v'lo masinu mechitza l'isur, don't we see mechitza l'isur? V'hatanan, we learned in our Mishnah, the Mishnah we just did on Amud Aleph, chatzir gedola shenifritza l'ketana, if you have a big chatzir and a small chatzir, gedola muteret, the gedola is permitted to take things from the batim to the chatzir, uketana asura. Neishu kipitcha shel gedola, v'ilu hishva et gipufeha. And if, let me see if he's got a nice picture here for this. Right, let's say if they were mashve, if they straighten out the walls here, in other words, they extend the walls. So here I have chatzir gedola, chatzir ketana. But if I straighten out the walls, v'ilu hishva gipufeha gedola nami asura. So everybody, in other words, you're expressing such, wonderment. My goodness, I'm creating a mechitzis. I have more yisurim. So isn't that the same in the Mishnah? In other words, how is what we're saying different than what the Mishnah itself has? The Mishnah has, I have a chatzir gedola, chatzir ketana. The chatzir gedola can take from the bayit. The chatzir ketana can't. But if I would be mashveh the gipufim, I would straighten out the walls, then nobody could take from their homes. So there's also another case where the mechitzis is creating more problems. So Amar Leis, Abaye says, Hatam Siluk Mechitzot Hu. In that case, that's not adding Mechitzot, that's really being Mesalik Mechitzot. In other words, where the two Aleph are is really the Mechitzot, and now I'm really destroying those Mechitzot. So Amar Leis, let me just do a few more lines, that'll be it. Amar Leis, Rava L'Abaye. So Rava said to Abaye, so Abaye's big taina is, how can, according to you, the three Chachamim, how is it that I have mechitzot and it creates a greater isurim? I create these mechitzot and now I can't plant greens even if it's here. Yoter mi dalet amot. He says like where the aleph is. Even if it's dalet amot away, I run into problems because these mechitzot. How could that be the case? So Amar Leih Rabba Labaye, v'lomansinu mechitza l'isur. Don't we see where a mechitza creates an isur? Let's see. He says, v'ha'itmar. Let's turn the page, the top line on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. Ba'imar, sikech al gabi achsadra, shishta patsimin ksheira. This is talking about a sukkah, and the way Rashi understands it, you have two parallel walls, and I have posts on the corners, and the posts are a tefach wide. And then on top, I have these little rafters and schach. And it's talking about sukkahs. Sikech al gabi achsadra, shishta patsimin ksheira. So with the patsimin is kshera, and it's kshera because we're going to say p'tikra yorid v'sotem, that the roof comes down and creates a third wall. I need for a sukkah, I need three walls. And the roof coming down, it was in the Mishnah Berurah, and that's the way Rabbi Packer said it. So it's p'tikra yorid v'sotem. V'ilu hishva patsimin psula. But if he makes everything like level, in other words, here he's got the pesimim sticking out a tefach. But here, if he puts a plank on the walls and now nothing sticks out of tefach, he says it's psula. So in other words, so you said it's the same thing as we had before. So Abai said mechitza le'isur. How can I have a mechitza le'isur? So now I'm adding a mechitza, and now becomes a treif sukkah. I'm adding a mechitza, becomes a treif sukkah. So Amalei Abai. So Abai said l'didi k'sheira. First, as far as I'm concerned, even in your case, it's kasher because I still say p'tikra yorid v'sotem. L'didach, but according to you, that in that case I wouldn't say p'tikra yorid v'sotem. I only say p'tikra yorid v'sotem because of these p'simin. He says siluk mechitzot. That's not adding the mechitza. That's removing the mechitza. That was you're adding filler material. But in essence, you're removing the p'tzimim. The p'tzimim is sticking out of tefach, and now they don't stick out of tefach anymore. Okay, let's just summarize, and then we'll take some questions, and I got to go. So the basic idea, according to Abaye was talking about, is how is it that I add mechitzot, which is the way we had, I add mechitzot, and I end up with more isurim. That's what Abaye is asking these three chachamim. It was, I don't think what you're saying makes sense, because you're adding mechitzot, and now if the greens are anywhere in that small chatzer, they're prohibited, not just within Dalet Amot, anywhere it's prohibited. How can I add mechitza and have Yisurim? So that's what Abaye says. So they asked Abaye, what do you mean? But let's say we had here, let's just go back. They said, but what about here? Here, I'll add mechitzot and I'll have an Yisur. He said, that's not adding mechitzot, that's really removing mechitzot. And then we said over here also, if I add mechitzot, now it's not a kosher sukkah. So he said, that's also not adding, really adding. It's really removing mechitzot because I don't have these p'tzimim there anymore. I don't have this tefach out on either end of it. All right, let me just do time for a quick question, then I want to do something from the Aladaf, and that's it. What do you got? Anybody have questions? All right, quiet bunch. All right, we're coming. The last parak is Hamotzei Tefillin, and we started in a few days, and I think it'll be a slight change of pace for everybody. It's on Sadi Hay. So today's Sadi Bay, Sadi Bay, Sadi Gimel, Sadi Dal, Sadi Hay. So we begin a Thursday night. So I think that'll be a little bit of a change of pace for people. All right, let me just do a little bit from the Al Hadaf and we'll see you here. Now, in terms of the minion, so he says, however, if there's only one man in the large room, he does not combine with the nine men in the small room to form a minion because we do not move the majority into the place of minority. It's clear from this Gemara that to form a minion, all 10 people must be in the same room. Furthermore, if two adjoining rooms are separated by side posts or by small wall segments, they are considered as two separate rooms and we cannot combine people from both rooms to form a minion. Now, he's going to explain, and the post can bring down, that if people see each other, it might be a little bit different. Now, the Graz, that's...
Didn't we have that in Brachot for the Mezumin also?
Right, that's the same din, right? That's 100% correct. That's 100% correct. That's the right area in Halacha, Fern. You got it. So the Gemara says, Vizvan She'elu Rovim Elu. So he says, the Graz, that's the Alter Rebbe of Lubavitch, says that the Gemara is referring to a case in which the opening between the two rooms is not more than 10 Amot. However, the opening is larger than 10 Amot, two rooms are considered as one for halachic purposes. I'm thinking like the Beis Medrash and the Young Israel, we have like little pieces of wall, but then we have the opening. I think the opening is probably more than 10 amot. The Chuvas HaRashba, citing Gemara Bracho regarding combining a group for Zimun, suggests that if the people who are outside the shul are able to see the people in the shul, they combine for a minion. Clearly, we must see the Gemara is only discussing a case in which the people two rooms cannot see each other. The Ruch HaShulchan attaches three limitations to the leniency of the Rashba. Now, the Rashba, one second. Yeah, so the Rashba says if you could see each other, you're Mitzarev. So he maintains that merely seeing each other's bodies is not sufficient. Rather, faces must be visible. He explains that the face is of special significance because the Shechina rests on a person's face. So seeing somebody means being able to see their faces is what the Aruch HaShulchan says. He maintains that this matter is affected only for one person. However, if there are eight men in the shul and two men outside, they cannot combine to form a minion. He wants to say that for the minion is only nine and only one person I can pull in, not two. And then he says, furthermore, he maintains that this method is only effective for someone who is outdoors, not for someone who is in another house or room, as is Nashim. The Kaf HaChaim maintains this method is effective only if the people can see each other without any obstruction. However, the tenth man is in another room and can be seen only through a glass window or a screen. He cannot complete the minyan. Tosfos on Sadi Beis, citing a Gemara in Sota, says that if there is a complete minyan in one room, people in another room or even outside respond to Kaddish or Kedusha, even if they cannot be seen. Anyway, so they're carving out, like, it becomes very complicated when you have, I know that I've heard, I didn't hear directly from him, but in the Beis Medrash from YU, we have two floors, and Rav Schefter holds, I think, the people on the second floor are not, cannot be mitzarif to the minyan. So if we have, let's say we would have, even though it's like a balcony, in other words, so if like, if you have, you know, nine people down and one person up, I think he holds that's not, you can't be mitzari if that. Okay, I think that's
it. I have a question.
Yeah,
what if there's already a minyan in the big room? Are you by yourself in the second room? Are you yosid praying with the minyan?
So
there's already a minyan there.
Yeah,
without you.
Yeah, I can't say 100% sure, but I think if there's already a minyan, then I think that's okay. I think that's okay. I need to look into a little more and find out how Rav Schefter holds about that, but let me get back to you. Okay, I mean that's the way we do it in YU. We have a big minyan and then there's another and everybody's been sorry for each other, so I can't imagine we're not. But let me look into it. Okay, all right. So I think that's it for tonight. Nice to see everybody. Let me end the recording.
Good night.
Let me end the recording.